Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 6, the conversation between Narada and Vyasadeva, text number 37. Suta,
Suta
Uvacha
Evam
Sambhashyat.
Sambhashya
Bhagavan
Narada
Vasavi
Sutam
Amantra
Vinam
Ranayan
Yayau
Yadvichika
Muni
Suta uvacha
evam
sambhashya
bhagavan
narado vasavi
sutam
amantra
vinam
amantra
vinam
ranayan yadrich chiko muni. So it's not written, so unless someone had memorized it by being a Shruti Dhar Brahmachari, we'll just continue.
Sita Goswami.
Uvacha
said.
Evam,
thus,
sambhashya,
addressing,
Bhagavan,
transcendentally powerful,
Narada,
Narad Muni,
Vasavi,
named Vasavi,
Sachavati,
Sutam,
son.
Amantra,
inviting.
Vinam,
instrument.
Ranayan,
vibrating.
Yayo,
went.
Yadrichika,
wherever willing.
Muni,
the sage.
Sita
Goswami said, thus addressing Vyasadeva, Srila Narad Muni took leave of him, and vibrating on his veena instrument, he left to wander at his free will. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Every living being is anxious for full freedom, because that is his transcendental nature. And this freedom is obtained only through the transcendental service of the Lord. Illusioned by the external energy, everyone thinks that he is free, but actually he is bound up with the laws of nature. A conditioned soul cannot freely move from one point to another, even on this earth. We found that experience the other day. Our driver didn't have his ID, it was delayed, so he couldn't cross the border. He had to wait. So we cannot move freely even between Canada and the U.S., you see. So a conditioned soul cannot freely move from one place to another, even on this earth, and what to speak of one planet to another. But a full-fledged, free soul, like Narada, always engaged in chanting the Lord's glory, is free to move not only on earth, but also in any part of the universe, as well as in any part of the spiritual sky. Actually, Prabhupada mentions how this Krishna consciousness movement was spread throughout the universe. So you can just imagine interplanetary sankirtan. Just imagine that day may come when we'll have interplanetary sankirtan parties traveling all over the universe to spread Prabhupada's movement everywhere. Have ISKCON on Brahmaloka, just imagine. Brahmaloka ISKCON. We can just imagine the extent and unlimitedness of his freedom, which is as good as that of the Supreme Lord. There is no reason or obligation for his traveling, and no one can stop him from his free movement. Similarly, the transcendental system of devotional service is also free. It may or may not develop in a particular person, even after he undergoes all the detailed formulas. Well, this is amazing. That means he might be chanting 16 rounds. He might be following the four-legged principles, doing everything he's supposed to do strictly according to everything, and still he may not attain it. Because devotional service is free to act as it to bless whom it chooses. So it's actually mercy. It's not just mechanical, well, I did my rounds, I followed the principles, why I haven't become a pure devotee? It's actually mercy, special mercy to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Because devotional service is free to manifest or not manifest. Similarly, the association of the devotee is also free. One may be fortunate to have it, or one may not have it, even after thousands of endeavors. Therefore, in all spheres of devotional service, freedom is the main pivot. Without freedom, there is no execution of devotional service. The freedom surrendered to the Lord does not mean that the devotee becomes dependent in every respect. To surrender unto the Lord through the transparent medium of the spiritual master is to attain complete freedom of life. Om Agyana Timanam Vishaganjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. So here we are in the most auspicious place in the entire universe. We are here at the lotus feet of Shri Shri Gurnita and Srila Prabhupada. This is the most auspicious place in the universe, right here. And it's the most auspicious time also. It is the Bhagavatam class. So we're here at the most auspicious place, at the most auspicious time. So we should take full advantage and just fully absorb ourselves. Somehow or other, even though the association of the devotee is free. In other words, the devotee is not under any obligation. He is free to give his association wherever he sees fit. So somehow we've gotten the association. Somehow I've gotten your association. You see, I've been blessed.
We're the most auspicious association.
It's all Prabhupada's mercy, what can I say? We are getting Prabhupada's association. He has brought us together. So, this is actually, if one finds oneself, the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, the lotus feet of Gaurinathai, and the Srimad Bhagavatam is being spoken, then there is actually no greater fortune. There is absolutely no greater fortune. The right place at the right time. So what does one do? Actually, one very famous materialist who became very wealthy, actually he became the world's richest man, and he gave one piece of advice from his experience. He said, if you find yourself in the right place at the right time, you should take massive action. You see, that was Bill Gates, you see. He was some Harvard dropout who just happened to get a contract to write the operating system for the IBM PC. And he said, well, I'm at the right place in the right time, and I'm going to take massive action. And he became a tremendously wealthy man, you see. So that applies also in Krishna consciousness. Here we are at the right place at the right time. So what does it mean to take massive action for us in the transcendental sense? That means we must intensely absorb ourselves in achieving pure devotional service with every ounce of our intelligence, our energy, everything, our life, our words, our intelligence, our money, everything absolutely, intensely absorbed in achieving pure bhakti and making a revolution on this planet. You see, revolutionizing the whole planet Earth, at least for now, maybe in the future with other planets, because complete freedom is there. But at least for now, let's make the entire Earth planet Krishna conscious. You see, that is called massive action. Let us make a revolution within and a revolution without. But here in the Singha, Hridaye in the Singha, you see, within and without. So, what is the freedom of a Vaishnava? This is actually a very, very amazing thing. Sometimes we hear that we're controlled either by the material nature or the spiritual nature, but that control of the spiritual nature is complete freedom, actually. To be controlled, under the control of the spiritual nature, is complete freedom. And the proof is that when one achieves that position of being completely under the control of the material of the spiritual nature, that devotee can actually bring God under his control. Krishna, or God, is called Ajita. He is not conquerable. But that person who fully surrenders himself to Krishna, he actually becomes the controller of Krishna, like Yashoda Mai or Arjuna. Drive my chariot here, drive my chariot there. He is controlling Krishna. So just imagine if you can actually, what is the freedom of someone who controls that person who controls everything? That is an incredible freedom, you see. In this material world, people are struggling. I gotta get money, I gotta get prestige so I can enjoy. Struggling so hard to become successful in this world. But they don't realize if you simply surrender to Krishna, then you actually control that person who controls and owns everything. You see. As the Ishapanishad said, what is there as illusion or anxiety for such a person? There's no illusion, there's no anxiety. You see. Achit is illusion, Nirananda is anxiety. But his position is Chit-Ananda. Chit-Ananda. He is full of knowledge and he's full of bliss. This is actually quite amazing. Prabhupada is saying the devotee doesn't become dependent in every respect. That means he still has independence. Even though he's fully surrendered to Krishna, in that loving relationship, he still possesses independence. He's not just a robot. Of course, in one sense, that independence is always there, that we can choose to serve Krishna or not to choose Krishna. But even in the position of one who has chosen that I will simply dedicate every thought, every word, and every deed for the pleasure of the Lord in all times, in all places, in all circumstances, for all of eternity, even such a person was fully dedicated himself to remaining under Krishna's control, he actually has still independence. To please Krishna, to serve Krishna, his desires are non-different from Krishna's. He simply wants to please Krishna in every way. And Krishna reciprocates with the devotee's desire to serve him in a particular way. That's why you have different rasas in the spiritual world. It's not just, everybody's a robotan in Goloka Vrindavan. You have unlimited varieties of rasas. Of course, there are five primary rasas. But within those, these are manifestations of the devotee's independence. He has a desire to serve Krishna in a particular way, you see. The flute is thinking, it is much better deal being a flute for Krishna, because, you see, the gopis, they only get Krishna's lips every now and then. I get Krishna's lips all the time, you see. There are certain living entities who would rather be a flute than to be a gopi, because they think it's a much better deal to be a flute than to be a gopi. They get the lotus lips of the Lord all the time. For hours and hours and hours. On and on and on. The gopis don't get that much Krishna's lips. So even within each of those primary rasas, there's so many varieties that, you know. There's so many different ways of being a gopi. There's so many ways, different, you know, there's unlimited millions of different ways you can be a gopi or a gopa, be a, in the parental mood, be in the servitor mood, friendship mood. All of these rasas have unlimited varieties, which are all simply manifestations of the devotee's freedom, their desire to serve Krishna in this way, in that way, this way, in that way. So Krishna loves that, because that way Krishna never gets bored. He never gets bored because he has all these thousands and millions of devotees who have the freedom to serve him according to their desire. And they all have individual personalities, and they all have different ways that they like to serve Krishna and relate with him. So Krishna never gets bored. He never gets bored there in the spiritual world. Of course, Krishna is, in one sense, Krishna could never get bored because he's Atmaram. He's a self-enjoyer. So sometimes people say, well, if he's self-enjoyer, then why does he create all these living entities? What's the need? You see? If he can be happy all by himself, why does he have all these living entities? Well, it's a fact, Krishna is Atmaram. He can enjoy on his own. But since he can enjoy in any way that he sees fit, any way he chooses, it's his desire to increase his enjoyment. What does Chanakya Pandit say? The home without children is a desert. So Krishna doesn't want the spiritual world like a desert. Maybe he was reading the Chanakya Shlokas. So he fills up the spiritual world with unlimited billions and trillions and quadrillions and quintillions of living entities who all have been given independence to serve Krishna according to their own desire, their own free choice of how they would like to serve the Lord. So the spiritual world is just an incredible place. Here, this material world is such a dull. Why is it so dull and interesting? Because nobody has freedom here. People are just being manipulated by the modes. We're just seeing a bunch of puppets. You know, the word guna also means rope. So they are being pulled like a puppeteer. Maya Devi is the puppeteer, and they are just, we've, that one Back to Godhead cover showed like that many years ago. It shows Maya Devi up there manipulating these karmi puppets, you know, just pulling their strings. They're just, so just coming by, here they are, the little puppets, you know, being pulled up the street. They may think, well, I'm free, I'm, you know, I'm going on a bicycle, or I'm free, I'm going on a, what do they call it, roller blades. You see, I'm just, see how free I am. I get to go to school the way I want. But actually, they're all just being manipulated by the modes. No one has any freedom whatsoever. The only freedom they have is, will I remain in illusion or will I come out? But how will they get that freedom? Right now, they don't have it. They have to actually be fortunate to come in contact with a devotee. So this is the necessity. One devotee asks Sri Prabhupada, well, it's by good fortune that one can be blessed with devotional service. So what does that mean, good fortune? It just means, you know, by the roll of the dice. If the dice just happen to come up the right way, then you get devotional service, otherwise you don't. What does it mean by good fortune when it has the blessing of devotional service? So Prabhupada's answer was, he said, we are their good fortune. So this, the devotee then realized, oh, that means I have to preach. You see, I have to preach. So the fact is, the devotee has the freedom. Just like when you're distributing books, you can approach this person, you can approach that person. It is your own free, devotee's own free choice who he's going to bless with this opportunity to get a book. You see, and whichever person was chosen by that devotee has just received the greatest good fortune. A devotee has approached me to give me a book. Now, whether they take advantage of it or not, That choice they do have. When that opportunity comes to receive the mercy of the Lord, what does the living entity do? Does he take, he has the free choice, Krishna or Maya, you see, spirit or matter, he has that choice. When the devotee approaches him with that book, he has now the opportunity to actually come out of the cycle of birth and death and enter into immortality. It's not that we have to go back to Godhead to go to attain immortality. Prabhupada actually, there's one lecture, deathlessness begins at initiation. You see, someone says, what does this initiation mean? It actually, if one is actually taking the vows with full sincerity, complete dedication and determination, at that moment of initiation, one actually enters into immortality. One achieves one's eternal identity, that moment. Of course, it's still an immature stage. It's just like you buy one mango, a green mango, at the grocery store, and you have to let it sit for some time to ripen, but you have the mango. As soon as one actually becomes initiated disciple of the bona fide spiritual master, has made that commitment that I will serve you, Guru Maharaj, for all of eternity, that person has now actually attained their eternal identity. It will take some time to fully ripen, but they have it. They've achieved it at that very moment. So this is such a wonderful thing, this Krishna consciousness process. If we can take it with all sincerity, with all seriousness, we will taste the sweetest happiness at every minute. This is Krishna consciousness. See? If we're actually Krishna conscious in the real sense of the term, then we will taste indescribable nectar at every minute. And if we're not tasting that indescribable nectar every minute, then, well, we're not really Krishna conscious yet. You know, we're just aspiring to become Krishna conscious. What real Krishna consciousness means, nirvana vilambitani, that happiness which minimizes the value of liberation. The Buddhistic nirvana is considered by many to be the ultimate consciousness, the ultimate bliss. Nirvana. Oh, I want to attain nirvana. They go to some mountaintop and they sit there and they chant om. They think, I want to achieve nirvana, you see. But they don't realize that that Krishna consciousness is nirvana vilambitani, that which minimizes the value of nirvana. Because whatever happiness is there by nirvana, which means freedom from birth and death, that happiness is multiplied by millions and billions and unlimited quadrillions of times of one who has actually learned to relish the taste of Krishna's name. As we've been explaining many times in our North American tour, Krishna consciousness tour, this word Krishna, there is actually so much nectar in one pure utterance of the name Krishna that the entire universe cannot contain that nectar. You see? That's how much nectar is in one pure utterance of Krishna. So when we're actually Krishna conscious in the pure sense of the term, we'll be tasting so much nectar that it'll overflow. And that's why Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is really amazing, it just blows my mind and blows everyone's mind whenever I repeat this, which is right there in Prabhupada's books. He says that any person who purely chants the holy names of the Lord without any offense, he becomes Jagad Guru. Prabhupada says it. And under his influence, the whole universe will take up the chanting of Hare Krishna. So do you think Prabhupada wants us to become pure chanters or to remain impure chanters? Prabhupada wants us to remain impure chanters, right? Prabhupada actually is saying he wants us all to become Jagad Guru. Actually, he wants us all to become Jagad Guru. It means so potent in our chanting of Krishna consciousness that the whole world, we can inspire the whole world to chant Hare Krishna. So just imagine if we can actually do that. We had one such person, Srila Prabhupada. And he wants us all to come to that level where we can become so pure that we, each one of us, can any one of us can influence, even this young girl, Janaki, that any one of us can influence the entire universe to become Krishna conscious. And just imagine if we have a whole movement composed of such persons, how quickly, within 18 days, we can actually conquer the whole planet. You see? Prabhupada explains, at the present time, I heard this one lecture I play sometimes when I'm shaving in the morning, I have a little cassette, and I've heard it many, many times, again and again. I love this quote. Prabhupada says that the world is currently being managed by rogues and demons. He says, now you take the management. Make your life successful. So we are actually engaged in the process of trying to take the management of this planet. Not that we want to be Kshatriya, although we want to train a class of Kshatriya. But we are meant to be the Brahmin class, you see. Those persons who were so pure and so saintly and so merciful and so blissful and so ecstatic that the leaders will actually come to us. You see, the prime minister will come to you and you'll say, my dear so-and-so, Das Brahmachari, you please guide me on how to run this country of Canada. I submit myself to you. You're a Brahmin? Are you a Brahmin? Oh, you're a Brahmin? You have second initiation? Not yet. Oh, you do. Okay. You're a Brahmin. You see. You guide me in how to run this country of Canada, you see. This is how pure each one of our members should become. That we can go to any country in the world and simply by our saintly behavior and our wisdom, our compassion, our Krishna consciousness, the people will become inspired to take shelter of us and ask for guidance on how this country should be run in a way that will please Srila Prabhupada. You see? This is the purity that we should be trying to cultivate when we chant our rounds and we study the books, when we go out for preaching work. We should be just diligently struggling and striving to get rid of those, what are they called? Those rascal anartas. They're terrible. They're so horrible, those anartas. Lust, anger, greed. Oh, they're horrible. They're just horrible. Laziness. Moodiness, is it? Moroseness, lamentation, self-pity, all these things. They're just horrible things. Simply excess baggage. If you try to travel in the airplane and you're way overweight and you have excess baggage, it becomes a big problem. Especially if you're going on, taking a whole series of flights, traveling here and there. And every time you go to check in, they want to charge you some huge overage fee for your excess baggage. You see? So we're going through great difficulty with our excess baggage here. Lust, anger, greed. Excess baggage problem. We have to streamline our, if we want freedom of movement, we have to streamline our baggage, get down to within the requirement. Within the limit. So, we have our luggage allowance, Jivara Sarupa Hoi Krishna in the Chidas. We are not without identity, like the Buddhists or the impersonalists. We have identity. I'm the servant of Krishna. We have our relationship with our spiritual master. We have our relationship with our fellow devotees. This is our allotted allowance, luggage allowance. This we can have. You see? We're allowed to possess Krishna. See? That is our possession, our one possession, and Krishna manifests in so many ways. This Krishna consciousness movement is Krishna. Actually, it is this ISKCON is Krishna. So we have. It's not that we're just out there trying to merge into the void or the Brahman. We have very nice possession. We have this wonderful sangha of the Vaishnavas. We have our spiritual masters, lotus feet. You see, we have Srila Prabhupada. We have so many wonderful possessions which are all simply the manifestation of Krishna. So that is our allotted luggage allowance for free movement. But if we try to take on so many other things, lust, anger, greed, then we will not have free movement. That will restrict our movement. So when we're traveling and preaching, just like now we're on this North American tour, we get some little taste of how ecstatic it is to travel and preach Krishna consciousness. So we can just imagine the what it must be like for Narada Muni to be able to travel anywhere at will. Go anywhere preaching. Anywhere he wants to manifest, he can just show up. And he has power to know where he should go. He knows what's happening. He has the power to know where he should go. Where is the opportune moment just now where I can go for preaching work? And he shows up at will. Just imagine if we had that much power, that we could be sitting here in Ottawa and being able to tune in. So there's a person over here on this street who's just now wondering what is the purpose and meaning of existence. And you just, boom, show up in their living room with Prabhupada's books. Just imagine if we had that power, that freedom of Narada Muni. How ecstatic, how enlivening the preaching would be. We could just show up. We would know when somebody was just that right moment, and we could just show up by mystic power. You know, we could just show up there, give them the books, and just keep doing that unlimitedly, one person after another person. So we should. This freedom of movement is very nice that Narada Muni has. If we become absolutely pure devotees, there is no telling how, in what way Krishna will empower us in the future. We don't know. But it is possible that one can have a similar empowerment as Narada Muni has. It's not that, he necessarily has to be the only one who has that ability to do that. It's possible that anyone could be given that special freedom of movement that Narada had, if they become as pure as Narada Muni. So we should strive for absolute purity. Should make that the number one goal of our life. I want to become absolutely pure devotee, and I want it now. I don't want to wait. See, every day, at every minute, we should strive to come to absolute purity in our Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada actually encouraged me in one letter to come to that standard. He said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. It just amazes me. But he told me actually to do that because I'd been a songwriter before I joined the movement. And I was wondering, well, what about songwriting and Krishna consciousness? I asked Prabhupada about that in one letter. And he gave me a hint on how I could write songs on the same level as Bhakti Vinod. He said, you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Then you can write songs like that. But that's as Naratam, Pivamangala, Prabhupada mentioned. So he wasn't talking about going back to Godhead to see Krishna. I was asking about writing songs now, you know, in this body. That's what I was asking about. And Prabhupada said, now disqualify to see Krishna face to face, and then you can write songs. That will be scripture. It will be like Veda, just like Naratam Bhaktivinoda. So this is actually what Prabhupada wants. He wants us to become pure devotees, completely pure. Absolutely pure Vaishnavas. So while we go through our external motions of distributing books like anything, or by, you know, putting on festivals, running restaurants, running temples, you know, managing households, whatever we're doing in our service to, you know, Guru and Krishna, while we're doing all those external activities, at the same time within the heart, we should be constantly pushing ourselves to come to the platform of pure devotional service. And everything that we do, we should understand, why am I doing this? I'm doing it for two reasons: to become a pure devotee of Krishna and to give this same opportunity to everyone else in the world. You see, this is why we're doing everything at every minute, is to become a pure devotee. That's why I'm getting up for Mangalarti. That's why I'm putting on a dhoti or a sari, or why I'm putting on tilak. That's why I'm shaving my head. That's why I'm wearing neck beads. That's why I'm offering an arti. We're doing everything for the purpose of becoming a pure devotee and to give everyone else that opportunity as well. So, I thank you very much for your kind attention. Your enlivened hearing has enlivened me to speak. Just seeing your enlivenment of hearing from this croaking toad, I'm very enlivened. Make it enlivened for me to speak. To see you're enlivened to hear, even though I'm not very qualified. Does anyone have any questions? Yes.
So in the prayer port, it stated that devotional service can choose who it wills.
Yeah. Yes.
So this is a two-part question. Does that mean someone that doesn't chant their rounds, doesn't follow the four regular principles, doesn't practice, can still have the opportunity for the devotional service? Can devotional service choose that? And if so, why do we strive to do all this stuff if it's...
It is possible. There is that the case in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of that one corpse that was floating down the Ganges. And the devotee had decided that whoever I first see, I want to make him a pure devotee. A pure devotee had this desire, I want to liberate the first person I see. And the first person he saw was not actually a person, it was a dead corpse. And so he glanced upon that corpse, the corpse came back to life and became a pure devotee. But that he wasn't chanting japa, his corpse was floating down the Ganges. He must have been, on his way to Yamaloka or something like that, or he was already in Yamaloka. But he was able to come back to that body and become a pure devotee immediately by the mercy of that Vaishnava. So, pure devotional service can manifest even without any prior qualification. But pure devotional service is inclined to bless that person who is sincerely trying to achieve it. That's it. So we should make the endeavor and just pray for the mercy. The point is, it's not the mechanics of doing it don't qualify you. It's only by the mercy of Guru and Krishna that you can get it. Going through the mechanics of pronouncing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just mechanically doing that will not do it. I mean, you can train a parrot to chant Hare Krishna. And he may not become a pure devotee. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You see? But then Prabhupada said, when the cat catches him by the neck, what will he do? Ka, ka, ka! No more Krishna. Yeah.
Isn't it also the pre-choice of devotional service, a person can take up chanting and do all these austerities?
Yes. It is a great blessing to be even given. It is the great mercy of Bhakti Devi, devotional service personified. It is her great mercy upon you that you even have the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna mantra. Anyone who has even the mechanics available to them, they are blessed. So they've already been blessed once, now they just have to go after more blessings. They've been blessed with the tools of sadhana bhakti by which they can attain pure devotional service. So, as they sometimes say, I'm on a roll. Once you've gotten so much mercy to have the system of achieving pure, now just go ahead and plug into the system. And then, if you are fortunate, you will get more mercy. And if you take that more mercy and use that again to try to purify yourself, you will get more. Then if you are fortunate, you will get more mercy and more mercy. It's not a mechanical thing. It's only by the mercy that one can move forward. Bhaktivinoda is praying like that. He says, if you're not merciful upon me, then I have no hope. Guru Maharaj, Gurudev, you see, it is your mercy. So we are always dependent on the mercy. It's not that now I'm a big, staunch, tough devotee, I'm fixed, I don't need the mercy anymore. I can get by in my own strength. Never like them. We are always dependent on the mercy of Guru, Krishna, and Vaishnavas. We are always dependent on their mercy for moving forward in Krishna consciousness. So, therefore, we have to be very good beggars. You can't purchase mercy. You can't say, okay, here's $50, now you have to give me the mercy. No. We have to beg the mercy. We have to attract the mercy of the Vaishnavas, of the spiritual master, of Krishna, of Lord Chaitanya. We have to attract their mercy by... That's why Prabhupada put himself as a beggar. He says, I'm simply an insignificant beggar. We have to be in that mood, just begging for the mercy. See, a beggar in India, we know the beggars many times are somebody cheated, but sometimes they beg so with so much feeling, it's hard to refuse. They're so good at begging. So we have to be even, we have to be the best beggars. And we can beg Guru, Krishna, Prabhupada, Vaishnavas, we can just beg for their mercy with so much feeling that practically they can't refuse to give us the mercy. Should never be proud and puffed up. The more we are advanced, actually, the more we feel that we are helpless and dependent on mercy. We're simply a mercy case. If I think, yeah, I'm a together advanced devotee now, I'm fixed up, watch out, you're on the verge of falling down. You feel, I'm so fallen, I'm so neophyte that I just have to beg for the mercy that I won't fall down. You know what Prabhupada said in Boston? You know that? He said, I'm always praying to Krishna that I will not fall down. So what is our position? What is our position? We just have to beg our spiritual master, we have to beg Srila Prabhupada, we just have to beg Lord Chaitanya, please protect me from falling down. Don't let me give up this Krishna consciousness process. Any more questions? Did I answer yours? I've covered it. Okay. Any more questions from the assembled Vaishnavas? The sadhus, assembled sadhus. Maybe you already realized everything. So there's no more question. You've fully realized, you're now Uttama Adhikari, there's no question. No obstacles in the heart to overcome. I already achieved the ultimate perfection. I have no more question.
Or it could be that you've already outlined the process of what we need to do. The answer to the question, to always be begging and praying for that mercy.
Yeah, that mood of always begging for the mercy, that's the meaning of Hare Krishna Mantra. We're begging for mercy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Like Prabhupada said, the child crying for the mother. The child is screaming for the mother's mercy. Isn't it, Janaki?
I guess she's saying she's not a child anymore.
So, little babies. The little babies, when they cry, they're screaming for their mother's mercy. When they're little tiny babies, you see. So, that is how we have to be, always like a little baby screaming for our mother's mercy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram.
I'm sure Janaki will cry if her mother was not there. She will call out. Isn't that
huh? So anything else? Now we can stop here. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.